Well, welcome everyone. this morning we're just going to be finishing off chapter 2 of John's Gospel, and we're going to be looking at this statement of Jesus about raising the temple. If the temple was destroyed, that he would raise it up in 3 days. We're going to be looking at this in regard to the inner meaning. What is he talking about? Now, the natural man of the time, the Jews, they thought that he was talking about the actual temple, that block and stone building that sat before them, before the vision of all. And of course, we have the statement that Jesus was referring to his body. Now, the natural man will think in terms of body, in terms of that physical body that Jesus had when he was in the world. But what we will see today is that there is much more to the meaning of this term body than meets the eye. For the body of the Lord is wherever goods and truths are present. And where goods or truths are present, which is within the human mind, so that becomes the Lord's temple. And so there are different levels of thinking in regard to the word and its statements. There is a natural level and there is a spiritual level. And what belongs on the natural level remains on the natural level. But to think spiritually is to think from what the words as signs point to, not to the actual words themselves. And so we have to learn what the spiritual meaning of the words are. Because the words have double meaning. They have a natural meaning and they have a spiritual meaning. And if they are to be applied to our inner life, then we need to understand what the spiritual meaning of these words are. And in that way, we'll be able to apply them to what goes on within ourselves, within our minds, within the realm of our thoughts and affections. So let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, Lord, you are ever present with us. You are the source of every thought we think and every affection we feel. You are the source of everything prompting towards what is genuinely good and true. Lord, help us to be more sensitive, more conscious of your presence in the core of our life, that we might be more conscious of your presence in and with others we meet. Lord, we are grateful that you came into the world to furnish us with the necessities of spiritual life. Your goodness is bread for our spirits, and your truth is the only drink able to quench our thirst for meaning. You are our ever-present help. Lord, help us to see more clearly the value of your word, and grant us the wisdom to bring that spiritual food and drink, which is your life in us, to those around us. Amen. So our reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, reading chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us, since you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And the reading from the Heavenly Doctrines this morning is from the work, The Doctrine of the Sacred Scripture, number 47. By the externals of the temple at Jerusalem were represented the externals of the word, which belong to its sense of the letter. This is because the same was represented by the temple as by the tabernacle, namely, heaven and the church, and thence also the word. That the temple at Jerusalem signified the divine human of the Lord, he himself teaches in John, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." But he spake of the temple of his body. And where the Lord is meant, the word is meant also, because he is the word. Now, since the interior things of the temple represented the interior things of heaven and the church, thus also of the word, therefore its exterior things represented and signified the exterior things of heaven and the church, thus also the exterior of things of the word, which belong to the sense of the letter. This statement of the Lord, in which he states that, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up," is a sign that will be given as a testimony of his authority. This was Jesus' reply to the Jews who were seeking a sign from him. Now, it's a statement that is perplexing for the natural man. And if we put ourselves in the shoes of those Jews who heard Jesus' answer, then his answer could have only been perceived as something bordering on the height of arrogance. It took 46 years to build this temple, and you say that you can raise it up, if it's destroyed, in 3 days. And so the natural man, who only hears the meaning of the literal words, that man is incapable of hearing with the ears of the Spirit. And so, quite literally, it sounds like nonsense. It makes no sense. Spiritual things to the natural man are a mystery. They are perplexing. Now, for the spiritual man who hears these words, they are rich in meaning. However, their meaning is only able to be perceived by those who have actually experienced the reality of these words in their own lives, because they are words that belong to the Spirit. And the Spirit has to do with the mind. That is what the Spirit is. Now, for those whose faith is grounded in a natural understanding of Christianity, the statement that refers to the body of the Lord is understood solely in terms of the physical body of Jesus and its being raised after being 3 days in the tomb. But spiritual Christianity moves beyond the historical temple and the historical event of the resurrection of the Lord, and sees in these words a statement concerning the experience of the Word's activity or divine truth's activity within those who seek to follow after the Lord in His Word. Now we know from the Lord's own words that the temple represented His body. But perhaps what is not so clear from the literal sense, but is clear from a spiritual understanding of what is meant by the term body, is that both the temple and the physical body of the historical Jesus found in the Gospels form different representations of the same thing. That being the literal sense of the word, or divine truth in a natural form. The literal sense of the word in the external form of truth accommodated to the natural mind. That's what the literal sense is. And just as the external aspect of the temple is a body for what it contains, so the human physical body is a container for what is the Spirit. The Word is the divine human of the Lord. For it has a body which is called the literal sense. And it has within that a spiritual sense. And that is the Spirit of the Word, the Spirit of the Lord. And that, in a sense, is made up of celestial and spiritual goods and truths, which are heavenly affections and concepts that make up our internal man. The literal sense is truth in a natural form, from which the natural man is able to gain some idea of God through the historical account of this person, Jesus, and so form a religion based around that historical figure. The spiritual sense is truth in a spiritual form, from which the spiritual man, or the inner man, is able to gain a sense of the reality of the presence of God shining through the literal sense of the word, and so form a religious or spiritual practice based around that. These are two different levels, and they should not be mixed. For the Lord God to be seen in the Word in this way, the literal aspect of the Word has, in a sense, has to die. It has to die in a sense that it no longer plays a part in our thinking when we come to read and study the Lord's Word. What might this be like? Well, if we take our reading from the Gospel for today, if we are thinking naturally when we come to the text, our thought will be led to think of the historical Jesus in a discussion with Jews about the temple, and his reply is referring to his bodily resurrection. You see, natural thought can't see beyond the historical elements, for it is bound to concepts that have woven through them ideas of space and time, and its whole life is tied up in that. This is the focus of natural Christianity. If we come to the text, however, thinking spiritually, then none of these historical elements carries any real weight in our thinking. For we are led in our thinking to see that each of the elements in the literal sense signifies something deeper to do with the inner world of our thoughts and affections and their relationship to the activity of the Word or divine truth there. So when we read Jews, we think proprium, with its self-interest and selfish loves. When we read Jesus, we think of the power of the inner sense of the word to deliver us from the evils of our proprium. When we read temple, we think of our external understanding of truth, or the literal sense of the word, that makes up our external thought in religious and spiritual matters. When we read the phrase, destroy this temple, we think of the breaking down of mental structures within the mind that can no longer serve the development of the spiritual man. And when we read body, we think of that which contains the divine life. And when we read of it being raised up after 3 days, we think of the restoration of truth through it being united to goodness in a full and completed state. These things are the focus of spiritual Christianity, and hopefully we shall see that it is this level of understanding that is truly able to instruct and empower us to a life that is fuller and focused in the realm of the Spirit. You see, the words here contain principles that make up the common experience of all people who have undergone major changes in their life, where something has passed away, broken down, and something new has been raised up. They also show us what our response needs to be when this occurs in the spiritual plane of our relationship to the Word or to the Lord. The natural man wants a sign in order to be convinced of the truth. He desires some sort of manifestation to prove once and for all that the Word is what it claims to be, the divine truth, and that, proven to be such, he will then submit his life before it. It's an odd thing. Natural reasoning tends to think that if God would only show himself in a way that is undeniable, that this would then lead people to believe. But this kind of reasoning in spiritual matters is false, and it shows an ignorance in regard to the unregenerate natural mind and its nature. You see, the Lord above all else desires our salvation. He is motivated by a desire for the salvation of the human race. And if it were the case that external signs and miracles could convince people and bring about their salvation, then the Lord wouldn't hesitate to use them. But in general terms, this is not his approach. In fact, what we find is that while miracles may be performed and give rise to a certain level of belief, it isn't a belief that the Lord can use to join himself to a person. This is because external miracles only bring about an external level of belief. They don't bring about a deep conviction of the truth, and so don't produce goodness in the life. The heavenly doctrines teach that once having been confronted on the level of the senses with an irrevocable proof of the power of God, rather than a person's salvation being secured, it is actually put at risk. Now, this seems to go against our intuition of how things work. We could say to ourselves, surely, if the Lord performed a miracle, a person has to believe it and so acknowledge the Lord as its source. Well, yes. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Undeniable proof of the Lord's existence presented to the senses actually removes a person's freedom and destroys their rationality or ability to arrive at their own conclusions and act on these in relation to spiritual life. You see, there are essentially two things that separate us from animals and makes us human. These are our rationality and our freedom in spiritual matters. If our salvation is to remain a possibility, the Lord needs to preserve our rational faculty so that we can examine truths and draw our own sense of their value for our life. He also needs to preserve our ability to act as if of ourselves in freedom in response to the truths we have before us. Miracles and signs that appeal to our senses have the power to undermine these two attributes and so remove what is essentially all our humanity. Yet it is clear from the word that there have been times when the human spiritual condition has fallen so low that the ability of people to use their rational faculty to assess truth for themselves has been virtually destroyed. And in these times, external miracles have been used by the Lord as a last resort to preserve and keep alive something of the idea of God in human consciousness. But by and large, while miracles are something the natural man has a fascination for and gets incredibly excited about, they rarely, if ever, bring about real and lasting change of any significant spiritual value in a person's life. On the scale of the kinds of divine revelation available to us, miracles that appear before the external senses of people fall into the lowest natural manifestation of the divine. The highest form of revelation, on the other hand, is that which appeals to those very faculties that make us human. That revelation which means that we have to actually use those faculties in order to discover our God. The appeal to these faculties, of course, will leave a person in freedom. Freedom to use their rationality. Freedom to respond willingly. And this form of revelation is the Word. For it is the divine truth in a form accommodated to every level and state of human and angelic consciousness. And we can see that miracles form a low level of divine revelation from verses 23 and 24. It says 23 to 25, "And as he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, at the feast, many believed into his name, seeing the miracles that he did. Many believed." But then it says this, "But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all, and because he had no need of that anyone should witness concerning man, for he knew what was in man." The natural man will travel to the ends of the earth to witness the miraculous, the spectacular. But will he reflect on the nature and quality of his thoughts and affections? And will he look there to find the miracle of inner transformation in obedience to the Lord's word? No, the natural man won't do this, because the natural man sees no value in it. He is interested only in external shows of power, of the spectacular, and he delights in having his senses stimulated and amazed. But the truly spiritual man is not taken in by external displays of the fantastic and spectacular, but approaches life with a determination to have all things within brought into order through applying the word of truth to the inner life of his thoughts and affections. This sign that Jesus said would be given is a sign that is actually given to the spiritual man, and it's found in the inner meaning of what he said. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. This sign is not something seen or can even be comprehended by the natural man. It is a sign for the spiritual man, and that it is witnessed by those who are actually in the effort to live the spiritual life. This sign is not something the natural man can see, because it is a sign that is only perceived in hindsight by those who undergo the processes involved in spiritual regeneration. And we can see something of the truth here when we lift our understanding out of the natural meaning of these words and consider what they signify spiritually. When we do this, all the negative connotations associated with the literal sense drop away. It isn't about a confrontation Jesus had with the Jews, but rather the words that Jesus speaks in the text of the Gospel embody what flows forth continuously from the Word or Logos of God. And here we are confronted with a principle of spiritual growth. And in the statement, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it up in 3 days. What we have in that statement is something that confronts us with our own natural fears of having to lose our life in order to find it, or having to give up our natural life with its loves and aspirations in order to find our spiritual life in higher loves and higher aspirations. The temple is the Lord's body, and the Lord's body is that which contains him. And therefore the Apostle Paul declares that those who belong to the church constitute the Lord's body, for in them dwells the Spirit of the Lord. The human mind, when it houses goods and truths from the Word, makes up the living temple of the Lord. So what is the sign? It is this. The words, "destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up," is a statement about what is asked of all who wish to follow the Lord. And the sign only becomes apparent when we respond. You see, we all have a temple of psychological and spiritual ideas that we are deeply attached to, that houses our idea of God, of the Word and its meaning for our life. When this is clouded in natural ideas tied to the literal sense of the Word, this natural sense-based understanding limits the power of the Word to bring about an inner transformation. So if we are seeking to make truths one with our life, then that desire comes from the Lord. For the Lord has awakened within you an affection for truth. And as truths are then woven through our response into the mind, so they work to do 2 things. Firstly, they work to dissolve our old ways of seeing things, ways that are founded on natural ideas and concepts. And secondly, they take the form of a new way of being, a new way of seeing founded on spiritual ideas and concepts. And so this is the power that truth has. Truth has the power to break down and to build up. These two ways of seeing are two temples of human thought. In this statement about destroying the temple, we are actually being asked to willingly allow the destruction of our dependence on that natural temple filled with self-sufficiency, self-reliance, and natural delight. We are asked to allow the Lord to destroy that temple with all the sense-based perceptions we carry of spiritual things, ideas that perhaps we have carried for a long time, ideas we have built up over the course of our life and may well have served us well. For each of us, these will be different. But we all will be holding on to ideas, views, perceptions that we know deep down can no longer serve to take us where the Lord wants to lead us. Ideas that get in the way of having the loves of heaven more prominent in our lives. Ideas, maybe, that have taken 40 and 6 or more years to build and mould our way of being in the world. The number 40 signifies struggles and difficulties, and the number 6 signifies labour and investment, the investment that's gone into getting us to where we are now. But the Lord is constantly seeking to bring us to Himself, to have us loosen our hold on what prevents us from trusting in Him more fully. That word destroy is a Greek word, lua, which means to loosen, to let go, so that we can move on. The ever-present question in this challenge that the word is continually making to us is, if I let go and trust Him, if I let go and trust in the Word, can He really raise up a new temple? Or will I choose to hold on to the security of what is familiar, of what I've constructed over the course of my life? It's taken a lifetime of struggle and labour to get me here. Can I really trust the Lord to raise it up if I let it go? Can I let go of my reliance on a natural understanding of the Word and doctrine and really commit to seeking what is spiritual within it? And so I begin to work with these things on an inner level. These are very real questions, and their answers lie in letting go. For it is only then that we can know in our experience that the Lord is truly faithful to His Word. We can see this. We can see that this reading is really about the inner shifts in the mind in connection with moving from a natural to a spiritual understanding of the Word and the heavenly doctrines. Because this word raise up, as in I will raise up this temple in 3 days, this is a Greek word which means through the idea of collecting one's faculties together. It means to awaken, to rouse from sleep. That's what this raise up means. And this is what the Word is continually seeking for us, that we might awaken to the ever-present reality of the Lord's love and wisdom. But for this to happen, we must be prepared to let go of our self-reliance and enter into the life of spiritual work. Amen.